Tell us your experience when you first learned that you were diagnosed with Parkinson's.
It was a very frustrating time because I was in denial and couldn't believe that I would have an old people's disease, what I perceived as an old people's disease. My grandfather had Parkinson's disease, and when he was quite a lot older. And so I still at times think some of my symptoms are something else, but it's all kind of rolls in together, and several excellent neurologists have diagnosed that this thing called Parkinson's is what I'm challenged with. But it was a frustrating time wanting to find the information that would be effective in helping me function better and feel better. And at the time, Robert Rogers' program was not available, Parkinson's Recovery. I don't know if it even been started yet.
You were the inspiration, Karen, you and others.
It was difficult to find other people that were trying alternative things. I was very, very fortunate in that the neurologist I was working with had been practicing for, I don't know, 40-some years, and he was very supportive, somewhat skeptical, but very supportive of my taking the alternative approach. And when I turned down medications, I said, I don't think I need medications right now. I need to get my life in balance and get my health in balance. And he was very supportive. And even when I would come back and check in, he would say, well, I think you're doing very well. You're holding your ground. And the same thing with the family physician doctor, the primary care doctor. I guess I would say I've been very blessed to find good support with all of the people that I have worked with different therapies that I mentioned, and also with family and friends. But back to the frustration at first, for a long time, I didn't want to talk about it or tell people that anybody thought I had Parkinson's. Partly because I kept thinking, well, then pretty soon they're going to say it's misdiagnosed and I didn't have Parkinson's, and then people will think I made it all up. And then I also believe that sometimes our belief systems influence what we have or don't have or what we do or don't do. So I still think I don't want to believe too much in this condition that they call Parkinson's. What I want to do now is do whatever I can to turn around as many symptoms as I can and prove that not all the symptoms are lasting. And that is true. I've been able to do that to a certain extent for short periods of time with the cranial sacral work or the three-person healing that Deborah and Robert and Ann do. On the acupuncture, some people, even in the alternative support group, are uneasy with going in and having somebody put needles in their body. But I've found that it relieves symptoms so much that a little bit of a needling doesn't bother me at all.
Does it hurt very much for the needles to be poked in your body?
Maybe a little tiny bit at first, and then it goes away. So I've had a couple times where I've had what I would call pain with the needles maybe in one spot, and then gradually it would get better. Only once in many, many treatments have I ever had a pain that didn't go away. But the interesting story about acupuncture, how I learned about it and how I decided it would be okay, is that we had a cat that was elderly and was having spasms and trouble walking, muscle spasms and trouble walking, and somewhat like what I later had. And the the cat was so miserable that I had heard about the veterinarian didn't have anything more to do for the cat. And I heard about a veterinarian that did acupuncture. And so I took the cat to her and held the cat in my arms. And as she got the needle, she didn't like the first needle very well, but then gradually she just totally came into another relaxed state that where she was very comfortable, and then that would last for a week or two, and then we'd go back to the veterinarian and have another acupuncture treatment. Several years ago, my balance was off so that it was hard even to walk down a hallway, and if I had to walk in narrow places like doorways, I'd feel like I was going to hit something. And now I can walk with confidence and go places and do things where for a while I was really afraid to go out and walk on my own. Another very influential person through his book has been John Coleman, the naturopath from Australia. His book was very inspirational in giving me the idea that I can feel better and that these symptoms don't have to be forever. And I should back up and say the other thing that's made the most difference for me is a change in diet, which was early on. I've been eating lots of processed foods and packaged foods. And the naturopath that I worked with did a test and told me not to eat soy, or actually for a while I didn't eat fruit and I didn't eat grain and potatoes together. It sounded kind of strange, but I started feeling better when I changed my diet. And I guess the big thing was completely leaving out sugar of any kind, like corn syrup, fructose, any kind of sugar, any kind of sweetener. So I don't eat foods with those in them, except maybe just a little bit. And another part of what's helping me feel better is connecting with other people in prayer and meditation group. And we have a facilitator named Arlene Arnold who does transformational therapy. And so she's helped all of us grow and learn. And she's on the website under Transformational Tools and Arlene Arnold.
So she spells her name how exactly?
A-R-L-E-N-E and then Arnold, A-R-N-O-L-D. I think those are the main things that I have to talk about that I guess one of the main things that I was very fortunate was to be in a study with Robert Rogers and Deborah Russell and Ann Egerton, and they did what they called three-person healing, and we had excellent results. I would feel better for several days to a week after a treatment, and I'm appreciative that they have continued to work with Parkinson's and to be kind of a clearinghouse for alternatives. It's hard to get information sometimes about what's effective with Parkinson's and what other people are doing. It's hard to find people that are trying alternative things. Another thing that has really helped in the Portland area is a group called Parkinson's Pioneers, and that's a group of people that get together once a month and talk about alternative support for helping with Parkinson's disease.
Does this group have guest speakers, or do you just get together and talk among yourselves about what you're doing?
We do both, but we do have guest speakers. And many people in the group were a part of Robert's study. appreciated all the work done there.
Tell us what it was like when you were first diagnosed with Parkinson's.
It was very, very frustrating. And I was very discouraged, and I was having trouble with energy. I was getting very tired and having trouble moving and walking like I normally did. There didn't seem to be a lot of people who knew about any alternative support for Parkinson's disease. I read about some different things and have always been interested in alternatives for supporting good health. So one of the first things I did was talk to a naturopath who worked within the medical system. And he had a couple of great at-home remedies. One of them was the hydrotherapy. My husband and I call them the hot and cold packs. And we put hot towels on my chest for 5 minutes, as hot as I can stand them, and then cold towels that are icy cold for 10 minutes. And then the same thing on my back. I roll over and have the hot towels on my back for 5 minutes and then the cold towels for 10 minutes. And this seems to help with detoxing and helping all of my organs and systems in my body work effectively.
You don't have to buy any particular special equipment to do this then? You don't have to have special towels to do this?
No, just old towels that you can... Actually, the lighter weight towels were the best because they dry out sooner for the next hydrotherapy. Oh, and when I wasn't feeling well, we were doing this every day, the hydrotherapy treatment. And I would do it in the evening because that was a time when I'd be tired and be especially... It also helped relax stiff neck and shoulder muscles. And I also did some affirmations and some meditation during that time when I was resting and having the hydrotherapy. Tried not to worry, but it was a time which was more, where I was more fearful and worrisome, like, oh, what's going to happen? And I wish I had been connected with more people at that time, like that I've heard in interviews on Parkinson's recovery, who are doing well. It was kind of a scary thing that to think about the gloom and doom aspects that many people think of with Parkinson's. And that was another reason I didn't like to talk to people very much about being diagnosed with Parkinson's, because I did read that some people don't have the gloom and doom. You know, if they live for a long time and they can still do normal activities and that they don't have such a terrible time with it.
So this first therapy that you describe is something that anyone can do if they have a couple of towels and access to hot and cold water.
Right.
And you call it hydrotherapy.
Hydrotherapy. And they do classes on that at the naturopathic college, but I haven't I haven't gone there to take a class. We just have some written directions, which actually I could give you the written directions for the hydrotherapy. It's just a pretty standard, just what I described.
What else do you do that's something anyone can do and doesn't cost a cent?
Oh, well, another one is the meditation, relaxation time. So now I've gotten to where I can just go off into meditation or relaxation almost anywhere. And if I'm visiting somewhere and I've been sitting for a long time and the neck and shoulders get stiff, I either stand up and do some stretches or sometimes just stretch out on the floor and let all those muscles relax. Another thing that does cost a few cents is the Epsom salts bath, and the Epsom salts is expensive at the drugstore, so the naturopath told us about buying the big 50-pound bag at the feed store, It's what they use to give bathe horses. I put 5 cups in the bathtub and fill the bathtub with hot water and soak in there for about 10 minutes, no longer than 15 minutes. Sometimes I would do that even before the hot and cold therapy and do both, but now I do one or the other and more like once in a while when I'm not feeling well. But for a while I did both of those every day to feel better.
I know you mentioned earlier that you've used acupuncture as a therapy that's been helpful. Can you tell people something about what it's like to get an acupuncture treatment?
Oh, you go in and remain pretty much fully clothed. Some acupuncturists, if they are going to do a, well, let's start with just an average treatment, it would be stretching out on the massage table with clothes on and shoes and socks off and jacket off and have some needles in the hands and arms and head and feet and any place where there was, like if my knee's bothering me, they'll put a needle in my knee maybe. But the needles just go in very easily and they're not painful for the most part. Occasionally, there's a needle that will be painful for a little while, and then it goes away. I just kind of take a few deep breaths, and it goes away. But I think many people are fearful, like my daughter is fearful of needles. And because of the benefit of the treatment, I don't think it's very scary because the treatment is so helpful.
They put the needles in the same places every time?
There's certain places that seem to be standard and then sometimes special places if there's attention to a certain place that's painful or causing trouble. Or the acupuncturist asks questions about how you're feeling and determines where the needles are needed. And sometimes they have other procedures where you might need to put a gown on like you would for a medical exam, and they have something they call cupping. I've only had that once. There's some electrodes they can put on the needles too. So there's additional things. And some acupuncturists use more needles than others. Some just use a few needles and seem to get a very strong response. And there are certain points, I can't name them, but acupuncturists that are used to working with Parkinson's seem to have certain points that are favorite places. And I'm suspecting, and several practitioners have told me they think so too, that someday we'll find certain whether it's pressure points or acupuncture points or energy places on the body that need attention that help us get rid of whatever the cause of discomfort or disease is.
After you get a treatment, do you pretty much instantly feel better, able to walk better, and overall are just in better shape?
Sometimes and sometimes not. Sometimes I feel better later that day or even the next day. But usually I feel better, you know, walking out of a treatment. But sometimes it may depend on other things, like if I'm hungry or tired or if I've exercised hard that day or something else that makes a difference too.
What else have you done that's really helped?
Let's see, the three-person healing that we did in the research study with you and Deborah and Ann has really helped. And I've kind of narrowed that down to the craniosacral work. And there's even something about traction on my neck and pressure points in the back of my head, when a chiropractor or a physical therapist or other modalities, people using other modalities of healing, do the neck traction and work with those pressure points, then I feel better too. But it's more dramatic with the three-person healing. And that's where one person holds the neck and head and works with those points and muscles, and another person works with the feet. So it's like having foot reflexology and Tui Na and massage therapy and chiropractic and all the different modalities rolled into one, healing touch.
Had you ever had acupuncture and cranial sacral therapy before the symptoms of Parkinson's showed?
I had had acupuncture for the neck and shoulder injuries, and it was very helpful in helping those muscles relax. So it was before the symptoms of Parkinson's that I started the acupuncture.
So what else is on the list of therapies that you found have been useful and helpful to you?
Oh, exercise is probably one of the biggest ones that I can do on my own that doesn't cost anything. I've been very fortunate to be in an exercise study where they're finding out that it makes a huge difference in what people can do. And I've gained a lot from where I was about 3 years ago. I was having a great deal of trouble with balance and with walking and moving. And now I feel much more confident to go to classes to exercise or to go out and walk on my own or to go to the mall with a friend. For a while, I didn't feel I could go any place without somebody like my husband that would understand and give me extra help or an arm if I needed it. And occasionally I do now too if I get tired, but for the most part I feel like I can move pretty confidently.
Is there any specific emphasis in the exercise classes as to a form of exercise to choose?
I'm very lucky to get to go to a Pilates class where the instructor works with other Pilates instructors who are all focusing on Parkinson's. So they all have general classes, and then they have some classes focused on targeting things with Parkinson's, like the preventing the stooping forward or helping with balance. So in the Pilates for Parkinson's class, she has us do things like stand on one leg or do balancing exercises, and then do exercises to counteract the weakness in legs or arms. So strengthening exercises. So she usually does strengthening and balance, and particularly has us do what will help the individual needs of people in the group. And another thing that doesn't cost very much that they've had us do in the Pilates classes and actually a podiatrist told me about too, is to have I don't know what they're called, they're a little ball that has, it's a little rubber ball like a cat plays with or like they have them at exercise places too. I'm trying to think. They're about 1 inch to 1.5 inches circular. And I keep a couple of those under the table where I sit. And then when I have pain in my feet, I roll my feet on those balls. And it helps the pain go away. And that's another balance exercise that they do in our classes for Pilates, is to stand on one leg and roll that ball. It could even be as big as a tennis ball. Sometimes they use tennis balls. So sometimes for the first few minutes or the last few minutes of class, they'll have us do those, but I do them almost every day just because it relieves pain so much. So that's another relatively inexpensive alternative treatment.
Now, if you compare yourself back 3 or 4 years ago to where you're at today, it sounds like what you're saying is that your symptoms are much relieved and you are doing much, much better. That is, you are on the road to recovery. Is that right?
I'm feeling much better than I was 3 years ago or 4 years ago. I've had a lot of strategies that have really helped. All these little things that we're talking about, plus some big things too, like support from family and friends, and research studies like the one that you did and the ones that they do at the university have been very, very helpful. So this being Thanksgiving month, I need to say how thankful I am for all the support and all the exciting new developments that are happening to turn around the symptoms of the thing we call Parkinson's.
Has your diet changed?
Somewhat. I was always quite careful about my diet, mainly to be careful about not gaining weight and to have good nutrition. When I was diagnosed with Parkinson's, many friends would say, well, they couldn't believe that I'd have any disease at all because I was so healthy and always did a lot of exercise like skiing and hiking and walking. And I was always pretty careful compared to most people about what I ate. But I found that there were quite a few places that I could make improvements, and that was with the help of an excellent naturopath who did some testing. This is when I was feeling really low energy and not good at all. And so he said, don't eat sugar of any kind. He had a whole report of things to be careful about. No soy, no sugar, no processed foods, no artificial colors, flavors. I mean, that lets out about everything except what you make from scratch at home. Oh, and then taking a couple tablespoons of brewer's yeast with breakfast and lunch. Later, the naturopath added in cod liver oil, which I argued against, but do feel better and needed the vitamin D. And that was a teaspoon at breakfast and a teaspoon of lunch of cod liver oil. But mainly getting rid of the processed foods and the sugar has really, really helped. Let's see, drinking lots of water.
One of the therapies that you mentioned has been useful is cranial sacral therapy. Tell people something about what that is.
I'm not sure how people are trained. That different people that say they do cranial sacral work, it's somewhat different, but in the work that's been most effective, they stretch my neck and hold my head gently and work with the pressure points on my head, kind of like a massage and kind of like holding traction. So I don't know all the things that a cranial sacral massage person does, but I know that they can work with the head, neck and spine, and it seems to open up, help open up the spine so that the energy flows better, and I'm not sure how it works.
I'm not either.
But it does, it is very, very effective. So any kind of traction, the chiropractor showed my husband how to do traction with a towel, or the physical therapist, I guess, showed him. They both do kind of a head and neck traction, which is somewhat similar to the cranial sacral work, only the cranial sacral work is very, very gentle. Whatever it is that they do, it helps me feel better for several days.
You have also received the services of a podiatrist or a foot doctor. How was that helpful? What happened in that experience that wound up being useful to you?
There's another place where there's a lot of different opinions about what's best. And, of course, my question is, well, what's best if you have Parkinson's and have a lot of trouble with the balance issues and with walking and foot pain? And it's still undetermined what causes the foot pain. For me, it might be old injuries. It might be the Parkinson's. It might be arthritis. So there's a lot of questions about what the cause is and then what the remedy is. Some people say orthotics, and then I went to one podiatrist who was highly recommended by several friends, and he has gotten people back running and doing sports that were having a lot of foot trouble. And the first thing he suggested was get rid of those orthotics, which I did, and then I had more foot pain. But it did help strengthen my feet and did help my balance. And after a while, we compromised. So I go barefoot when I'm at home or in someone's home whenever I can. And if I'm out on a walk like a hike, I wear shoes that do have some orthotics. I've tried going without the orthotics, but then I get pain in different parts of the feet that I didn't have before. And so I'm trying some of both. And I was in a balance study where they were actually testing my balance, and it seemed to be as good or better with the orthotics. So I think what happened was when I was wearing the orthotics, I had some other things happening where I was feeling better and moving better, and so my balance improved.
So what you're saying is that the recommendation would be go without shoes and you'll feel better.
That's certainly the recommendation from the podiatrist that advocates no orthotics. But I'm still working with orthotics too. So I guess there's a balance between the with and the without. And it probably is a very individual matter. There's more coming out now in the newspaper and in articles about even people running marathons barefoot or almost barefoot with very little foot support. And I think they have different feet than I have, but I there's various other ways too to get connected with the ground, like pebble mats with that's something I haven't tried yet, but I'm interested in looking into. And certain shoes put the body in a flatter, more normal barefoot walking position. So I think there's more and more attention being paid to that.
Before the interview, you were teaching me how to make loud noises with my mouth so that we could get ready for the interview and clear our throats and so we could be strong and project our voices. So where did those lessons come from?
I was fortunate to be able to take the Lee Silverman voice training. Lee Silverman was a woman who had Parkinson's disease, and she had some speech therapy. And the speech therapy made such a difference in her life that her family started the Lee Silverman voice training. I think they gave an endowment to helping train other people. And I was a guinea pig there, too. I received a notice that I could come free for some sessions with some teachers learning the Lee Silverman method. And so I thought, well, this sounds interesting. And it was a very fun experience. Those of us who were guinea pigs had kind of practiced teachers doing the lessons, and it was such a good experience. And they talked about the data, and it was so amazing. There's there's charts and graphs and data of how effective this program is, that I signed up to do the Lee Silverman training from a trained speech therapist. And it was an excellent experience. And the very interesting thing about it is that they keep it simple. They say, remember to talk big and loud. And what's interesting is that if I'm out for a walk and I start to struggle with my movement, if I say those words, walk big, walk loud, swing your arms, move your feet, big, loud, then I can move more easily too. And then on days when I do, which should be every day, I'm striving for every day to do my voice exercises. When I do my voice exercises, I just feel better. It's like, oh, that's a good way to start the day or end the day. If I'm tired, do the voice exercises and even some face exercises to keep those muscles working. I had been paying a lot of attention to the big muscles and not too much to the speech muscles. So that has been amazingly helpful. But I'm sure there's a website and lots of good information about the Lee Silverman voice training. And I would highly recommend that. And it's all over the United States and all over the world, in fact. I received a newsletter from them, and they're training people in other countries, too.
What are some of the other therapies that you've tried that have been useful?
I have some friends who are trained in healing touch, and they call it healing touch, but they don't necessarily touch the body. They just work with the energy around the body, and that has been amazing.
Tell us some about your experience with Twi Na. What is that?
Twi Na is a very gentle way of working with the body, even more gentle than a massage. And I'm not an expert on what it is, but I know that for me it is very helpful and effective. I've had a couple times where I've had a crisis. Maybe I took some medicine that didn't work, and I was in a difficult place with movement and with even thinking that I could ever feel better again. Like, oh no, what has happened? This is terrible. A lot of negative thinking because I was feeling so rotten. Both times I had excellent practitioners who understood Twi Na and who knew just exactly what to do to help my body relax and work better, more effectively. A lot of times on the feet, I guess for me, because I have trouble with my feet, but I think Twi Na can be on other parts of the body too, but it's a very gentle approach from China. That's about all I know about it.
That's a lot. Tell us some about feelings and how they seem to be connected to the symptoms of Parkinson's, feelings like anxiety and fear.
I've joked with people that I'm a recovering worrier, and I've gotten a lot better in living in the present and not being fearful or worried. Dwelling on the fears and worries and anxieties just complicate things. So for me, it's a lot better to go with the positive affirmations every day, to use the website or other affirmations, use your website or other affirmations to think in a more positive tone and not get into the what-ifs and the worries.
Do you put the affirmations up on mirrors or doors or walls, or do you just say them?
I've done that in the past, but I mostly just say them. Or take a situation that's challenging and try to turn it around into a positive. Or sometimes there was a time where I made a lot of notes on what I was doing. It was especially early on when I was trying a lot of different things. It was like, well, what's making the most difference for me? I think all the things that we've talked about today could make a difference for me or for other people, but it's an individual thing, and it may be an individual, it may depend on where a person is in time and space or in their life or in what else is going on, or I tailor the affirmations to what's needed at the time.
You've talked about a number of therapies that have been useful for you, acupuncture, cranial sacral. You've talked about exercise, about diet. What are some of the other therapies that you've actually experimented with or tried that have been useful?
One that's new to me that I haven't explored is the BEST technique. I have a cousin who is trained in that, and she's done a couple treatments for me that have been very effective, very much like the cranial sacral. And that's bioenergetic structural technique, and some chiropractors do that technique. Again, I haven't explored that one very much. That's new to me. Some of these are presentations that we've had at our support group meetings, so I just know a little bit about them, and they are effective. Like when we have a meeting and we participate in one of the therapies, we all feel better too. And that would include pranic healing and drumming, toning, body talk, the Bowen method. I think those are the main ones.
That's an impressive list of therapeutic possibilities for people. What would you like to say to a person who has just been diagnosed with the symptoms of Parkinson's?
This is an exciting time, and that there's great hope for minimizing any symptoms, and I think great hope for treatments that will, I'd like to say, get rid of the disease.
Is there anything else that you'd like people to know before we end this discussion?
Just how grateful and thankful I am that there are so many choices and so many different ways of approaching healing and feeling better. And I think we have many choices that haven't been available in the past that weren't available to my grandfather. And there's a lot more than just going to the doctor and getting a pill to take care of this. But it also helps helps us live a fuller, richer life.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Karen.
You're welcome. Thank you for all your work.